It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Last month, a YouTuber named Nick Shirley put out a video alleging millions of dollars in fraud at daycares run by Somalian Americans in Minnesota. He claims some of those daycares receive public funding but do not provide services for children. Shirley's accusations are misleading. There was massive fraud in a child food program in Minnesota. It was written about by investigative reporters from the New York Times. The Justice Department under President Biden prosecuted some of the people involved, and pundits have said it's among the reasons Governor Tim Walz decided not to seek re-election. But none of that stopped Shirley's video from going viral, as though it was the second coming of Watergate. In response, the Trump administration froze billions of dollars in funding for child care and family programs in five states, all led by Democrats, including Illinois. As we just heard from Attorney General Kwame Raoul, within days, all five states took the administration to court, calling the government's move unconstitutional. Late last week, a judge granted a restraining order to keep the money moving. Still, uncertainty remains for the providers and families who rely on these programs. We're going to talk about that for the next part of our program today. Jill Andrews has a lot of experience with child care. She's the former president of the Southern Illinois Early Childhood Action Team, a nonprofit advocacy group for child care. For 30 years, she owned Kitty College of Fairfield in Wayne County in the southeast part of the state. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with Jill on Thursday afternoon. Because of that, no calls, but you can share your thoughts with us. Our email address is talk@21stshow.com. Jill, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hello, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
All right, Jill, this funding freeze is for three programs that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services oversees. I want to focus on one in particular, the Child Care and Development Fund. What does this program do?
Well, it's primarily the program that funds the Child Care Assistance Program for low-income working families with children under the age of 13. So basically, it helps parents afford child care while they work or continue their education.
Who gets the money from it? How does the money actually flow?
Well, eligibility is determined, first of all. The parents apply. They do that through their resource and referral agency, or they do it online. There's a new mobile app now that DHS has put out. It's based on their monthly income and family size. So each parent pays a small copay, which is basically less than 7% of their monthly income. Now, the important thing to mention here is that this program currently supports early childhood staff by charging them only $1 for their monthly copay if they are income eligible. And so that was established because of the current child care workforce crisis in staffing. And so that began in 2019. So that's another benefit of this program that maybe not many people are aware of.
How much do daycares in particular rely on this money?
Well, it depends on their enrollment. If you have an enrollment of 30% CCAP children, then that's 30% of your funding. So many centers that are located probably in the middle of the state and in Southern Illinois have a high enrollment of CCAP children. So they would be devastated if this program were to be eliminated or funding frozen for any length of time, even 30 days. We would begin to see the early childhood infrastructure crumble.
So the Trump administration says the freeze is in response to what it calls, quote, serious concerns about widespread fraud, end quote. What in your experience, what have you seen of that?
Well, nothing. I don't understand where this is coming from. In the state of Illinois, all funds are applied for by parents directly through the local resource and referral agency. So I have no idea how any fraud could be committed by a child care provider. Now, since this program was established, child care providers have been subject to IDHS audits and required to provide documentation to verify the attendance of all CCAP children in their care and keep those records for 5 years. So my previous center was a CCAP provider for 29 years, and this has been the process used during that entire period. So I have no idea, based on a provider perspective, how this could be happening.
You'd have to convince people, like a network of people, I guess, to say they had fake children or something along those lines, yeah?
Well, I mean, centers and home providers do not apply for this money directly. The parents do. So between the parent and the resource and referral agency, they verify the income, the size of the family. They request payroll records of the parents. So I'm just baffled by it.
I mentioned the YouTuber who had made that video that went viral and seems to have caught the attention of the White House here. Have there been worries in Illinois about someone like that, showing up with a camera, trying to find evidence of fraud? I mean, I wonder, how would you react if someone with a camera showed up at the door of your daycare center and demanded to be let in?
I'd let them in. I have nothing to hide. I have no perspective. I have no idea of how anyone that is operating according to the DHS regulations would be hiding anything and would not want them to come in to prove that their center was above and, operating above and beyond what is required. I'd let them in my doors.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the Trump administration's attempt to freeze child care funding in just five states. One of them is Illinois. We heard earlier about the legal fight around this from Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul. And now we're hearing about what this money does and what effect the freeze, although it's been stayed by a court, but what effect that could have closer to the ground. And we're talking about this with Jill Andrews, who ran a daycare center in southeast Illinois for 30 years and is the former president of the Southern Illinois Early Childhood Action Team. Again, we spoke with Jill yesterday in order to make our schedules meet. If you want to let us know what you thought, talk@21stshow.org is our email address. It was just last week that the federal government tried to institute this funding freeze. I'm curious how you found out about it.
Probably social media.
What
You know,
kind of
that
community?
I have the Facebook page, Illinois Child Care in Crisis, and all the providers in many providers in the state post what they find about, any aspect of early childhood, and they began posting. I think I'd already seen it on when I woke up in the morning, and I was just shocked because it just came out of nowhere, and child care in the state of Illinois is in such a fragile state right now. We cannot allow one more crisis to occur, or the early childhood infrastructure will begin to crumble.
I mentioned that you ran a daycare center in southeast Illinois, Kitty College of Fairfield, and I wonder, were you doing that during the budget shutdown, the budget impasse, as it was sometimes referred to, of 2015 through 2017, when Governor
Sure
Bruce
was.
Rauner?
I sure
Yeah.
was. Start. I opened my center in 1996. So I've been through every type of crisis, but this crisis is, I think, probably the scariest that I've been through.
That's interesting because I wondered if you could talk about that and compare what happened. Because at one point, the eligibility for child care assistance, and maybe it was a different program, I don't remember the details off the top of my head. It's been, again, 10 years since that time. But, there was a significant reduction in eligibility for a while in Illinois, yeah?
Are you talking about when Governor Rauner was in office?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just wondering, just to compare and contrast, this is not, like you say, the child care system here is fragile. I just want to help people understand, what has led up to that and how that fragility, has affected people in the past.
Well, the current crisis is the workforce crisis, the staffing crisis. In 2019, Southern Illinois was basically the canary in the coal mine And our centers began closing one by one, very silently, and no one seemed to notice. And so I got information, gathered statistics, and I went to the Early Childhood Council and I said, I bring an SOS. We have lost 4,000 slots of childcare in the last few years, and it is a staffing crisis. Well, after that point, within the next 2 years, that staffing crisis became one that was across the entire state. So, what we are finding now is we have been trying to implement changes to abate the current staffing crisis. And I realize there's a staffing crisis in all types of careers, jobs, across the state. But in this staffing crisis, we have to hire staff that are qualified educationally, and it is a very difficult to do today.
And
So
temperamentally
that's
suited
why
to
we are
working with
so.
small, I would say, and temperamentally suited to working with small children, which is no small thing in and of itself. I wonder, what do you understand is behind the crisis in the staffing issues in the field?
Well, it's just the current state of employment. I mean, there just aren't enough workers out there. Part of the issue was that the childcare centers could not pay people that were highly qualified, a high enough salary to encourage them to come into early childhood. Most went on into the public school system, who, as you know, receive property tax funding and other state support, and they are able to pay higher wages, and they're also able to provide higher benefits. So that really was a big impetus for the lack of employees or people to even inquire about early childhood.
So you mentioned being in a social media network with a lot of people who are still in the field actively today. I mentioned that court issuing a restraining order to stop the funding freeze. Has that made a difference? What are you hearing from people now that we're in this sort of in-between moment?
Well, I mean, it's just a state of fear, anxiety, and confusion. I mean, there's such a state of anxiety about whether you're talking about an in-home provider or a center. The impact of what could possibly happen is devastating. I can't emphasize enough that childcare providers are on a tight budget. So, not receiving even 1 month's payment after providing care, because you have to remember, childcare providers are not paid for the care that they provide until the month after the service is provided. So, they've expended all of the staffing expenses and all the other expenses to operate prior to even being refunded for those expenses. So if they miss 1 month, then all of the expenses that they had that month will go unpaid. So that is just how desperate the situation is.
What about for families? I wonder if you've seen in your social networks, like your actual people you know, not Facebook and that sort of thing, but are people making decisions about whether to have families, whether to start families, based on the lack of availability of childcare in so many communities now?
Well, I don't know about if it's gotten to that point yet, but I do say it boils down to two issues. One is, do I stay home, which could result in not being able to pay my bills, or do I put my children in maybe unlicensed or low quality care? Either one is probably not a good option for parents. Most parents, if it's a two-parent income household, they need both parents working in order to pay their bills. Right now, we're trying to keep my position is I'm trying to keep everyone in the field from being too stressed out. It's already a stressful job anyway. And so I want people to maintain calm and do the right thing in their job, focus on, providing high quality care for their children and try not to focus too much on this, even though it's very difficult, because there's nothing we basically we can do. You know, this is up to the legislators and, you know, other people way above our pay grade. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep everybody calm and not get too stressed out about this.
Jill Andrews ran a daycare center in Southeast Illinois for 30 years. She's also the former president of the Southern Illinois Early Childhood Action Team. Jill, thanks for taking the time to speak with us on the 21st show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the opportunity.
Coming up after the break, Governor J.B. Pritzker has been in the national spotlight lately. It's no coincidence. Recent reporting from Capital News Illinois shows the governor is favoring national, friendly news outlets when compared with local news. We'll speak with one of the reporters who detailed that shift. I also want to mention before we go to break, you can join our texting group. We love sending messages out about what we're working on, giving you an opportunity to add questions to our guests as we are preparing them. You can do that by sending the word TALK, T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. Again, the way to join our texting group is text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show.
Support for the 21st show comes from the Des Moines Arts Center, presenting Manuel Alvarez Bravo, a pioneer of Mexican photography, featuring collaborators like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, and more. On view through January 18th. More information at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.